Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Frehler with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the commodity newsletter for Monday, February 18th. Normally, I would put this newsletter out on Sunday, but with the U.S. markets being closed on Monday, it's coming out on Monday instead. Steve Nelson, of course, already sent out his newsletter on the general market, and he sent out a second newsletter on the world markets. So you guys got a lot to look for tonight. Anyway, this newsletter here, I got a lot of stuff in here. I think it's a pretty good commodity newsletter. As you can see at the top, via the table of contents, it's divided into four major sections. And I also have a lot of comments here, so you can read those. And, you know, I think tonight's newsletter has quite a few good charts. You know, first off, we're going to cover gold and silver in depth. As you know, they have been moving quite strongly to the downside, so there's a lot of interest in the gold market, you know, what's going on there. So I cover that in depth. We look at both the short term and the bigger picture and intermediate picture. We also look at gold stocks. We're using GDX as the proxy. And we're also going to look at our GDX swing system, which is the based on the BPGDM. Lastly, number three and four, we're going to go over some general commodities. We'll look at U.S. dollar. We'll look at unleaded gasoline, crude oil, the agriculture ETF DBA, which I think is something to keep an eye on in the short term, copper. And we'll look at our XLE swing system, as well as coffee and natural gas. Again, you can see some general comments here at the top. Make sure to read those on your own if you like. I'm not going to read it right now because it would take too long, but you can do so on your own. Next, item number two shows a table of what the market did as a whole last week, not just commodities, but the general market. The general market was pretty choppy, as you can see. The major indexes, you know, down. The Dow was down. The S&P was just up slightly. The NASDAQ and NDX were down. The Russell was up fairly strongly. Otherwise, the major sectors, kind of a mixed bag. Some of them were up, some were down, etc. Otherwise, commodities, which is below that, you could see pretty much a sea of red here, mostly down here. Just a few commodities were up, such as lumber was up 3%. Again, doubt any of you are trading that. Crude oil and oil service stocks were up. Gasoline, which you put in your car, unleaded gasoline, was up 9%. So a huge week for gasoline. That's been in the news. And we're going to cover that in tonight's analysis. Going to look at some in-depth charts. Otherwise, precious metals, you can see, had a pretty negative week. Gold down 3.4%. Silver down 5%. GDX down 5.75%. So ugly week for the precious metals. Next, item number three shows you the economic news for this week. We have an FOMC minutes this week. Initial jobless claims on Thursday. We have housing starts and PPI and core PPI on the 20th. Again, lots of little news here. And item number four is a link to a stock earnings calendar. Again, earnings season is about finished. But again, if you want to check your individual stocks for earnings, you can click here to pull up a list and search for your stock. Okay, let's move right on the charts here, guys. Again, first off, we're going to talk about gold. And I'm going to go slowly. This newsletter might take a while, but again, it's early Monday night. You have plenty of time to listen to it. I do want to cover this in depth. So the first chart below, item number five, shows a weekly chart of gold. Gold was down 3.43% for the week, almost $60. So again, another negative week for gold. Technically, nothing's changed. Gold is been in this consolidation descending triangle pattern since September and August of 2011. It topped out in August 2011 at 1923 an ounce, as you can see. Otherwise, it's in a descending triangle here. Major resistance is the downtrend line, and of course, 1800, but you know, no reason to discuss 1800 at this point. We're way below that. Gold's now at 1611. Major support is approaching via the horizontal line of the triangle. Again, it is a descending triangle. Support, I call it a range between 1535 to 1525 instead of a hard number. As you can see, that matches the previous lows in 2011 and 2012. So that's big time support area, guys. And honestly, if gold doesn't hold that area, it could get quite ugly, perhaps. The pattern If you take the high from about 1800 to 1525, measure about 250 points, measures down to about 1250. Could be a target if gold really wanted to sell off. Again, we'll just have to see what happens. I do have quite a few alternate variations below, but I do just want to point out where the pattern of measure. I'm not saying that I agree with that or think that that's going to happen, but I am showing where the pattern would measure. I really don't want to see gold go all the way down to test support because, to me, that would make the pattern much weaker. It's tested this lower support area now 3 or 4 times, and the more it tests that lower horizontal line, the weaker it can get. Think about it like an ice skater on a frozen lake jumping up and down in one spot on the ice. The more he jumps up and down, the weaker that ice gets, and he could eventually break and fall through the ice. So, kind of like the analogy here, and the more times you test the support, the more chance you have to break it. But otherwise, we're still above it, you know, I'd say, you know, 75, 85 points. So still ways above support, but that's something to watch. Next, chart 6 is a daily chart of gold. This is the one I've been showing the last couple weeks. Gold's in a downtrend channel from the October highs. And last week I showed this little head and shoulder topping pattern. You can see those highlighted areas in blue and in black. And some people emailed me, say, hey, you know, could that really be a head and shoulder pattern because, you know, it's forming in, it's not forming at a top, it's forming in a downtrend. Well, the pattern's definitely been playing out. It measured to about 1600, and that was hit last week on Friday. The low gold hit was 1597, basically. So that head and shoulder pattern played out. Gold is now near the lower trend line of the channel. So that is a potential support area. There's also the 23.6% fib. You can see it in black. I have it highlighted. And they have that horizontal dotted line going across. So that is a potential support area. We'll see if gold can at least start to have a short-term bounce from there. Again, I wouldn't be surprised to see it have a short-term bounce just because it is near some support areas. So we'll see. But that pattern did play out. Next, chart 7 is a daily chart of the ETF, GLD. Again, logically, it has the same pattern. But I did want to show this because this is a pattern we've been showing for quite a while, I think since early January. And obviously, and this was calling for another break to the downside. And this has played out beautifully, you could see. So you could see some highlighted areas in green. If gold were to rally here and bounce in this area, you know, bottom around here, there is a small chance it could form an inverse head and shoulder pattern with a left shoulder in place back in November, this being a head, then forming a right shoulder, you know, a couple months from now. But again, who knows? For now, it's in a downtrend channel. We're near the lower trend line of the channel. That's what's obvious. And it did break that bear flag to the downside. So again, not surprising. Gold has also been gold has been stronger than gold stocks, which has been a negative. It's generally best when gold stocks are stronger. It's been reverse. Next. Chart 8 is another daily chart of gold. You can see the descending triangle pattern. This shows you a little symmetry. The current consolidation has been about 16 and a half or so months, 17 months. And the consolidation in 2008-2009 was 17 and a half months. So it's still not as long as that consolidation. And honestly, as I've stated before, because gold had such a strong run from that 2008 lows and where it topped in the fall of 2011, a good 3-year rally, it may need a much longer consolidation than that. And I'll discuss that below, and that's something I've been discussing for a while here. You can see on this chart I have 3 moving averages, the 150, 200, and 377 MAs. They've all been really tight here lately, and that's been foretelling of a bigger move. They started pinching, well, last October, and gold has since been selling off. Next, chart 9 is another daily chart of gold. Again, goes back a little further, shows you the last consolidation patterns. Again, nothing really new to add. I've discussed this chart for weeks and weeks and weeks. One thing, though, is the CCI 250, that indicator above. You know, it's been below 50% for a while here now. So longer term, if you're a gold bug, you want to see that indicator above 50%. Okay? So it's been below for a while here. That's a negative. Next, chart 10 is a 60-minute chart of GLD. That's the ETF. Again, you can see the consolidation triangle pattern we showed last week that broke to the downside. We have 2 gaps here now. So if gold wanted to bounce in the short term, there's a gap to fill from last week, as you can see, from 158 to 156.50. The RSI at the top is oversold, where I have circled in red. But otherwise, there's no positive divergence here in the MACD below or in the RSI. So it tells me that a bounce may occur, but it's going to be a short-term bounce because there's no divergence. You really want to see divergence on these lows, and you just don't have it. Okay. Next, let's look at the bigger picture. First off, chart number 11 is a weekly chart of GLD, the ETF. I should put this wave count on gold metal, and I will do that, but it doesn't matter. It's the same here. This shows you how gold could potentially be in a more complex consolidation correction pattern that would take a while to play out. A lot of technicians thought that gold was in a simple ABC correction from the 2011 highs, and this shows, and you can see the ABC in blue, that would be the simple correction. A more complex correction would be in pink here, which would be an ABC XW ABC Y pattern. And X and Y are in place. I'm sorry, I got a little typo here. The bounce above is Y, it's not X. So sorry about that for the confusion, but otherwise. And gold under this scenario would be now in the wave A, the second wave A series. ABC series, it'd be in wave A. Once wave A is done, you'll have a wave B bounce, it'll form a lower high. Then you have another sell-off in a wave B. Now that would finally complete the correction. Maybe sometime later this year, who knows. But that would give a longer consolidation than that one back in 2008 and 2009. Then gold would be ready to test new highs. Again, this is if gold is still in its secular bull market, which I think it is, okay? But this could be the scenario for gold to have a much more complex correction. All right. If you have any comments or questions, just feel free to email us or ask us directly. Next, chart 12 shows a weekly chart. This shows you the commercial net short for gold. I simply take the weekly COT data. I subtract the commercial long from the commercial short positions. And it's, you know, this chart goes back to 2003. It's something that I've followed for a long time. Generally, this chart is more useful for picking bottoms. If you look at the areas in green, especially before 2008, 2009, all bottoms occurred when the commercial net short fell below 100,000, as you can see very clearly. Every time it got below 100,000, you could pretty much just hold your nose and buy gold, because it was due to go up. And but it steadily increased over the years. You can see it was 35,000 in 2003, and the last low in 2008 was 92,000. And last week, the commercial net short fell to 161,000. So it's coming down, but it's still quite up there, you know. And the lows in April, May 2012 are 130,000. So it's still above that. So we may need to see this work down over time before gold really has a decent bottom, okay? Now, one thing is this data comes out on Friday afternoon. But it's 3 days delayed, so it's only as of Tuesday. And gold fell every day after Tuesday last week. So it's probably lower than this. Maybe it's 150, maybe it's 140-something. But it's still, I doubt it's still below the 130 level from the last low. Okay, so this is something we're going to watch going forward. Next, chart 13 is a monthly chart of gold. This is something that I've showed for a long time now. This shows you the big picture. The secular bull market in gold began in 2001. And you could draw a series of uptrend lines here. Again, my thought here a while back was that, you know what? Gold is at a hell of a run here. You know, it may need to test one of these long-term uptrend lines. Perhaps the upper one there, as I show in highlighted in blue. And so far, you know, that may be the case. Would not be surprised to see that uptrend line touched. Again, you can't give a specific price for the uptrend line because it is an uptrend line. It's moving as time goes on, so we'll just see if it wants to test that area eventually. And an important indicator to watch is that 14 RSI at the top. I have it highlighted. Again, you can see how the 14 RSI went above 50% in 2001. And it's been above there that whole time, except for a brief stint in 2008, but that was only one candle. It didn't confirm. It then went right back up. So that 50% level is an important level to watch if you're a gold bug. Crossing below 50% and having a confirmed cross below, what I mean is you don't just get one candle below it, but you get a close below 50%, and then you get another low in gold after that with another candle. That would be a confirmed close. Watch that, because that's been important for the whole secular bull market. Okay. And next, chart number 14 is another monthly chart of gold. This one goes back to the early 80s. As far as stockcharts.com would go, wish it went back to the 70s during that previous gold bull market. I need to find some charts for that. But anyway, I just overlaid two exponential moving averages here, an 8 and 21. By the way, those are Fibonacci numbers, in case you don't know. And just simple crossovers have caught most of the, you know, bull and bear markets here. And generally, these crossovers last for years, as you can see back. The lines apparently looks like they probably crossed back in 1980 or 81, but you can't see it on the chart. They had a little cross up in 1986, crossed down in 1988, crossed up in 83, crossed down in 96. Then they crossed bullishly in 2001, and they've been above ever since. But obviously, longer term, if you're a gold bug, you don't want to see these lines, you don't want to see the 8 EMA fall below the 21 EMA. Okay? Again, if you're a gold bug, you need to be objective, guys. The problem I have with a lot of gold bugs and 99% of gold newsletters out there is that they're always bullish. Rah, rah, bull, bull, buy all the time. They never tell you to sell. You know, you always need to buy. You always need to hold. And, you know, and a lot of gold bugs out there, you know, state that, you know, if gold isn't going up, that there's a conspiracy with the bank shorting it or whatever. Guys, honestly, just follow the charts. It's a lot simpler because you can't analyze or you can't quantify the other stuff. Just follow the charts. If the charts ever really tell you to sell, you need to sell. One day, there will be a time to sell gold. I don't think it's now. If you're a longer term. Again, I think you should have sold gold back in August or September 2011 when it was way extended. It was 25% away from its 200-day moving average. That was the time to take some profits on gold. But longer term, to me, it's still in a secular bull market, okay? But one day, it won't be, okay? It's not something I think you can hold, you know, for 50 years or something. Eventually, gold will go back into a bear market, guys. So again, just be a trader with it. Even if you're a long-term trader, there will be a day to sell it. You know, it reminds me of the guy I know who bought Walmart in 1980. He did great. But, you know, back in 2000, he told me he's never selling it ever. Well, it's been dead money for, you know, the last 12 years. What about Apple? You know, Apple's had its heyday. You know, it may rally up and make new highs again or have a decent rally again. But you know what? Apple's went up such a big percentage that the big moves are over. You know, anyway, enough of my soapbox. But again, this is something to follow longer term. Next, set of charts are gold relative to some currencies. Chart 15 shows gold relative to the Australian dollar. It's been trending down. It's potentially forming a wedge here, but again, you want to see gold start to outperform relative to the currencies before it's ready to go up, and it's not so far. Next, chart number 17 is gold relative to the euro. And again, same thing. It broke an uptrend line in October, and it's been downtrending since then. It needs to start reversing. It needs to start outperforming relative to the euro. Okay, so as you can see, you know, gold is underperforming relative to these world currencies. That needs to change longer term. All right, guys, next let's move on to silver. Chart 18 is a weekly chart of SLV. It's a silver ETF. Again, same thing. Down 5.25% for the week. So again, fairly negative week. Overall, again, nothing has changed here. You know, silver topped out in that parabolic move in April 2011. We warned about that quite a bit. Lately, it's been forming a big triangle pattern since 2012. It's still holding the uptrend line from 2008. I think you need to keep an eye on that. We can see if that can hold or not. That's a big, important area coming up. Next, chart 19 is a daily view. Again, shows you the same thing as the weekly chart above. Let's watch this long-term uptrend line to see if it can hold. Again, if you want to take a shot at a long, that's a logical area because you can have a fairly tight stop below the uptrend line, okay? You know, I like buying support, taking a shot, because you can have tight stops. You know, if you're right and it curls up and turns up, then, you know, you have a good buy. But it needs to hold that weekly uptrend line. Otherwise, next big support's around 26 area where you see those green arrows. And, you know, longer term, Gold lost its uptrend line from 2008, so I'm wondering if silver will do so as well. But for now, it's still holding it. Next, chart 20 shows you another daily chart of silver. Again, this just shows you how complex and choppy it's been since that parabolic blow-off top in April 2011. It's been a lot of trades since then, but you know, you can see it's just been a lot of just choppy move here. Lately, you know, currently from the October highs, it's in a downtrend channel. Next, chart 21 is a daily chart of silver. Back in January, it logically stopped at the 61.8% fib. That's something I showed to watch out for, and that's where it stopped at. So hopefully some of you maybe took a short or took some profits there. Otherwise, it's in a downtrend channel here. We'll see where it goes from here. Next, chart 22 is another chart of silver. Steve was showing this last week. You know, could it be forming a wedge longer term? Possibly, but you know, it needs quite a bit of work for that. Okay, now again, long-term resistance is the downtrend line. And next, chart 23 is a 60-minute chart of SLV, the ETF. Again, this triangle pattern I showed over a week ago, it broke to the downside, and it's now testing the December-January lows. We'll see if it can bounce. There's no positive urgency here, though. But again, at least a bounce here wouldn't surprise me with the RSI indicators oversold at the top. Okay, that does it for gold and silver. Next, item number 24, let's look at gold stocks. We're going to use GDX as a proxy, and we're also going to look at our GDX swing system. Chart 25 is a daily chart of GDX. GDX topped out in September before gold did. Gold topped out in October. And again, just ugly week, especially on Friday, sold off again. We were showing this consolidation pattern back in January. The time it needed to rally was in January. It needed to take out the 200-day moving average, but it was unable to do so. You could see the 200-day moving average in green. That became resistance, as well as the 50-day moving average. The 50-day moving average crossed below the 200-day moving average, and then that was negative as well. And, you know, GDX bounced in late January, early February, tested that trend line, became resistance, where you see my blue arrows. And selling off again, now basically testing the July lows. And the May lows aren't too far below, down around the high 38 range. Ugly, ugly chart. Ugly. Not much else to say about it. You know, it's GDX has been underperforming relative to the metal. And that's been a negative sign for the metal. I think that's why we started finally seeing gold sell off hard. One thing to note is GDX closed below its lower Bollinger Band in January, but it's now testing the lower Bollinger Band, but has not closed below it. And volume was pretty big last week. The reason I mention this is because if it were to bounce here, you could set up to a Bollinger Band buy signal, perhaps. But again, it needs to bounce from here. And I'll discuss that below. Next, chart 26 is another view of GDX. Again, a little closer view. You can see the test of that blue channel, which became resistance. You had a bear flag. I drew another downtrend channel here in purple. It's kind of a steep one. Again, watch the Bollinger Band here. But again, it's quite ugly. Not much more to say about it than that. Next, chart 27 is another view of GDX. It could also be forming a wedge, perhaps. But otherwise, I drew another channel here in blue. And the lower trend line of the channel is, you know, basically comes in around the May lows. Again, you know, longer term, the 60 stochastic at the bottom is quite oversold. So it's oversold. But again, you know, these things need to see some strength here, and they just are not. Next, item number 28. This is taken from stockcharts.com educational section. This talks about Bollinger Band W buy signals, where price closed below the lower Bollinger Band. Price then makes a new low, but doesn't close below the lower Bollinger Band. And that's what I was talking about above, you know, where currently GDX has made a new low, but it's not below the lower Bollinger Band. So it's something to watch. Again, I've discussed this before, but otherwise, you know, they're ugly. Not much else to say. Next, chart 29 is a weekly view. Haven't shown this chart for a while, but, you know, there's still this potential large weekly head and shoulder pattern on GDX. Again, I don't like it here because, you know, this would take GDX down, you know, to oblivion. Okay. Plus, it's been oversold so long, but, you know, again, just showing this just to be aware in case all hell broke loose. Next, Jarber 30 is a 60-minute view. GDX broke below that channel last week, and it's oversold, but no divergence really, or not much. There's a little divergence, but again, ugly chart. And next, item number 31. This is our GDX swing system. This is a chart of GDX, but if you look at the top of it, you have the BPGDM, the Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index. We use this as for buy and sell signals, as well as, you know, a variety of other things. The system has been on a sell signal since October 12th, so over 4 months now. So they would have shorted GDX in the 50s. GDX is now in the 39.89. So nice trade, you know, from then. Nice four-month trade. So it's definitely a true swing system. But anyway, bullish percent charts, in case you don't know, are based off of a list of stocks, and it takes the number of point and figure buy signals on the stocks, and you compute a percentage based on that. And so your bullish percent charts can only trade between 0 and 100%. And rarely do they ever get to 0 or 100%. But anyway, out of the BPGDM, there's 30 components, and only 5 of them remain on point and figure buy signals. I have the list here just above. So let's take a look at those, because this is important. Because right now, the BPGDM is at 16.67%. What are the odds are that it's going to go lower? It can go lower if any of these 5 stocks go to point and figure sell signals. And if they all went to point and figure sell signals, they could go to 0. But let's take a look at these individually. Next, chart number 32, item number 32, shows you these 5 component stocks that are still on point and figure buy signals in the BPGDM. And you can see Newmont at the top. Again, if you don't know how to read point and figure charts, you can read up on them. But basically, a close on this at or below $42 would create a point and figure sell signal. Currently, GDX is 43.27, so it's $1.30 away. Hecla Mining is quite a bit a ways. It needs a close below 375, and currently it's 527. So that one's not even close. NGD, the third one, a close of 9 or below is needed, and it closed at 961. So it only needs 61 cents to go on a point and figure sell signal. AG closed at 1721. It needs a close of 16.5. So, you know, about 70 cents or so would put it on a point and figure sell signal. And the last one, NSU, needs a close of 375. It closed at 379 on Friday. So it only needs 4 cents, guys. So this one here is the closest. And if this one goes on a point and figure sell signal, you divide 4 into 30, and that would bring it down to 13.3%. Quite oversold for the BPGDM. Okay. Next, item number 33. Again, these are some text for the charts above, the point and figure charts. You can read it. I describe it all in detail here, and as each individual one. Okay. And next, chart number 34 is a comparison of Nugget. That's the triple long ETF versus GDX below. That's the one-time ETF. With our GDX swing system, we trade GDX. We don't trade the triple leveraged ETFs like Nugget or Dust, because longer term, they degrade. And this is a great example. You could see how Nugget here has taken out the May lows and July lows, but GDX has not yet. So you can see how its price is degraded on Nugget. If you're the triple leverage ETFs are okay for short term, but you know, longer term, if you're holding them 3, 4, 5 months, it's better to hold GDX. Plus, guys, honestly, too many people, too many subscribers I found are reckless with these triple leveraged ETFs. They put too much money in them. You know, the things can move 20-30% or more, and that's just too much for people to stomach. Okay, so I advise or suggest trading GDX and avoid the leveraged ETFs. Next, that does it for precious metals. Now let's move on to other commodities. Chart 36 is the daily chart of the U.S. dollar. It took out the downtrend line last week, just a little bit though. And we'll see if it wants to rally here from here. The move up, of course, has been affecting gold negatively as well as other commodities. Next, to Arbor 37 is a weekly chart of the U.S. dollar. Again, longer term, still nothing has changed. It still looks like a potential head and shoulder on the weekly. It's just working on a right shoulder. And it would have to go either rally up quite a bit or go sideways for months in order to negate it. So for now, this pattern is still valid, okay, even though the dollar has rallied off support. Next, let's look at unleaded gasoline. Again, that's what you fill up your car with. Been a lot of talk about that in the media. Chart for 38 is a weekly chart of the unleaded gasoline, up 9% for the week, big week. This weekly chart, as you can see, it's testing this long-term uptrend line from 2008, which tests 2011 and 2012, so that's three touches here. This is an important level. A good breakout from this would send unleaded gasoline to new highs, in my opinion, and could really send it up there. Maybe we'll see gasoline at $5. And think about it. It's only February. It's not the summer time frame when gasoline tends to be higher. Otherwise, very, very short term, and is getting a little overbought here. It's above the upper Bollinger Band, etc. But again, to me, this chart looks bullish. It looks like, ultimately, even though if it may want to consolidate here, it may want to break out longer term. Next, Chart 39 is a daily view. Again, very short term. It's quite extended here. You got a big gap here. RSI at the top's overbought, but there's no divergence. So, you know, over time, I wouldn't be surprised to see gold hit new all-time highs this year. And that could be interesting for the economy. Next, Chart 40 is a weekly chart of crude oil, up about 0.5% for the week. Otherwise, bigger picture, it's forming a large triangle pattern here. Again, it's going to take a while for this pattern to play out, but just that's the big picture. Next, Chart 41 is a daily view. It's pausing here at $98. You know, maybe it's flagging out, perhaps. We'll see. Support is the broken downtrend line in purple, the dotted downtrend line, and again, resistance is 98, and next resistance would be 100. Next, Chart 42 is a 60-minute chart of the ETF USO. It's in a horizontal consolidation pattern. You can see support trying to bounce off of it. We'll see if it can hold this area or not. Next, let's look at agriculture. We'll look at DBA, the agriculture ETF. I think at least a short-term trade could be setting up here. Chart 43 is a daily chart of DBA. Last week, it hit Steve's target at that symmetry perfectly, as you can see. It's in a downtrend channel here. This is a potential support area. The daily chart's still ugly. There's no divergence here. So again, I would only view maybe a bounce here as a short-term trade, but it may want to try to bounce here. The RSI indicators at the top are also very extended, which I have circled in red. Next, Chart 44 is a 60-minute chart of a DBA. Now, finally, the 60-minute chart has some positive divergence here in the MACD and the RSI, so wouldn't be surprised to see a bounce here in the short term. Again, I just viewed it as a bounce, guys, but there's some gaps to fill above. Next, Chart 45 is a 15-minute view. Take a look at the very bottom indicator, the 144 stochastic. That's also a Fib number. This stochastic has been below 20% now for 9.5 days. The rubber band is fairly stretched here. That's a rare occurrence. You hardly ever see this. And those of you who have been Breakpoint for a while know that I look at these things. So again, I wouldn't be surprised to see a reversion back to the mean, the rubber band snap back, and have a bounce, you know, have this stochastics recycle back up for a trade. Okay, next, Chart 46 is a 30-minute view. And on the 30-minute, I'm using a 60 stochastic at the bottom. You can see, again, it's been below 20% since for all month, all February. And again, it's just something you don't see often. It just generally, this stochastic doesn't do this. So again, I wouldn't be surprised to see a bounce in the short term to fill some of these gaps above. So I do own some DBA for a bounce trade, and if it starts to bounce, I'll add to it. Next, Chart 47 is a weekly chart of copper, down 0.35%. Again, nothing really here. It was trying to break out of the triangle pattern a week ago, but it really hasn't, as you can see. And Chart 48 is a daily view. You know, you could still argue a bull flag pattern here, perhaps. Well, I drew an uptrend line in blue, that dotted uptrend line. Also matches the 50 MA, so we'll see what it can do here. Next, item number 49, let's look at the BPNR, XLE and OH, swing systems, coffee and natural gas. Chart 50 is the BPNR, bullish percent energy index. This, again, just like the BPGDM, is a bullish percent chart. It can move between 0 and 100%. It rarely gets to either. I've seen it at 0% in 2008 before, though. And otherwise, pulled back a little bit last Friday. We'll see what it does from here. We did get a buy signal back in January on our system, but currently our system is in cash. Next, Charber 51 is XLE, a daily chart. Our system went long back in January. We sold out in late January for a nice long trade. XLE did make a higher high, but you know, it pulled back on Friday. We'll see if that starts to gain any traction. So the reason why the system exited in late January was because one of my indicators was quite overbought. So and I don't want to take another long position until the system until XLE recycles back down a little bit. Next, Charber 52 is OAH. I also use this in conjunction with the system. Now, the OAH did make new highs last week. It pulled back on Friday, but I expected it to make new highs to bounce off the 20 MA, and it did. Next, look at coffee. Again, I doubt many of you trade coffee, but, you know, something I've been following lately. Charber 53 is a monthly chart of coffee. Again, it's down for the month again. It's testing, once again, this uptrend line from 2002. We'll see if that can hold or not. Next, Charber 54 is a weekly view. Weekly view shows a potential wedge here with positive divergence. Next, Charber 55 shows a daily view, potential wedge forming here, but it needs to hold the lower trend line of the channel. Next, Charber 56 is the ETF, Joe, and broke down from a bear flag pattern in late January. Since then, it's been declining. Again, you know, in order to take a shot at it, you know, you really want to see some kind of reversal here, and you just don't see it yet. But again, you know, just something to keep an eye on longer term. Finally, looking at natural gas, Charber 57 is a daily chart of natural gas. Natural gas had a nice trade for us last year. We traded the inverse head and shoulder pattern, you can see, early 2011. Otherwise, it's been pulling back since November. It's now testing the 200-day moving average in red here. We'll see if it can bounce off of that or not. Next, Charber 58 is Boyle, the ETF. It is testing a trend line from June, but I don't like the daily pattern that much. It's kind of it's just kind of sloppy, so I'm not really looking to trade this. Next, Charber 59 is the 60-minute view. Shows a little wedge here. We'll see if that can hold or not. Volume patterns are quite ugly, though. All right, guys, that does it. Again, I know the newsletter is a little longer than normal, 37 minutes, but, you know, you do have time to review it, and I thought I had quite a few nice charts in here. Talk to you later. Have a great evening. Have a great week. If you have any questions, send me an email or private message.